With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. Tom Price talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling the stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Toaster for my love, thank God, Toaster.
Well, hello, welcome back to another week of My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you very much for downloading, listening, supporting, liking, subscribing, reviewing, rating. Just being yourselves, guys. Most of all, thank you for being you. So, really hope you enjoy today's episode. Maisie Adam is just the most fantastic guest. I'm so, so excited for you to listen to this episode. Is there any admin before we get on with the episode? There really isn't any admin. What I'd like you to do is listen to the podcast and tell your friends. It's really that simple. Enjoy, and I'll see you next week. Who have we got on next week? I think we're going to do... I haven't decided, actually. Either George Egg, who's a good egg, you're welcome, or Danny Robbins, who's... a nice man. I can't think of a pun based on his name. And I feel like I'm in a rush because you guys just want to get on with the episode. You don't want to listen to this nonsense. So yeah, either George Egg or Danny Robbins. I don't know yet. I'll decide one day. Enjoy Maisie Adam. Lots of love. Hello, this is My Mate Bought a Toaster, and this week I have got a fantastic stand-up comic who also has a fantastic haircut as well. It's got to be said, Maisie Adam. It's a great haircut.
It's all right, isn't it? It's all right.
When I Googled you to look, I had a little look on your Wikipedia, by the way, which I don't often do for guests, but I don't know why I felt the need to do that. It's because I had this sort of weird 10-minute window before we started, and I was downstairs thinking, I've got nothing to do. I'm going to Google Maisie. And I went to Google you, and one of the things that comes up, you go Maisie Adam, and then hair is the next word that comes up now.
Oh, really? Oh, that's good, though, because it used to be height, just loads of people wanting to know how tall I was. And then it used to go, Maisie Adam, lesbian, ? And I understand I get how people might have them questions. But good to know that the haircut is now the main reason for...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how was my Wikipedia?
It was very interesting. There's one thing in particular that I really want to talk about, but the rest of it was. Have you looked at your Wikipedia?
My fiance has. He was like, "Do you know who edits it?" Because it's one of them, isn't it? Where anybody can edit a Wikipedia page.
Yeah. For example, the man you're talking to right now.
Oh, have you edited my Wikipedia page?
A lesbian at time of ask. No, I haven't touched it. I wouldn't even know how to do that. But people can do that.
You know the bit that everybody likes to scroll down to on a Wikipedia page? You go straight to personal life.
Personal information, personal life. Yeah.
Mine just says Maisie lives in Brighton. And then the other sentence is she is currently engaged, which the word currently, I don't think gives my fiance a whole lot of confidence.
Also, it says, there's a little bit in brackets. It says currently, which is a weirdly temporary word there. It says when in brackets, like a citation needed thing. When, you know what I mean? So anyone listening to this who does know how to do Wikipedia, Maisie, when did you get engaged?
3rd of December. Yeah, I think.
Did you just look at your wall calendar after one side? Were you just going?
No.
One second.
No, checking I was receipts. On holiday in Prague, and it was there. It was
lovely.
Around. If anybody is going to put it on Wikipedia, just put around the 3rd of December.
Around the 3rd of December. What? Because if they know it's 3rd of December, that is presumably 0312 is your passcode to get into your iPhone, things like that.
Oh,
that's the
God.
Problem, isn't it?
You've just made me rethink every password I've got. Oh, it's really obvious.
Okay, good. Well, now we all know. You better go and change your passwords. Mm-hmm. But after this, please, after this. Thank you very much for giving me access to your Amazon account, talking your passwords. It's been a lot of fun.
It didn't take you long to guess my password, did it?
No, that was very easy to do. I've been rampaging through your Amazon history, and we're going to go back to 2011. Hmm. That's early doors for you, Maisie.
Yes.
Specifically November. specifically November 2011. Specifically, really, two items bought on the 13th of November 2011.
Okay.
Spice World the movie, the 10th anniversary edition.
Yeah. No questions asked, please. That's a very normal purchase to do.
No shame. No shame as well. Inflatable Scottish Piper costume. Over to you, Maisie.
Okay. It was Children in Need Day at school, where you could go fancy dress.
And so you're still at school in 2011?
Yeah. I mean, lower sixth form.
Okay, then. Fine. All right.
Well, you should know that because you know my date of birth because you've been rifling through all my passwords, Tom. It was Children in Need Day. I think that's around that time of year, isn't it? And
yes, it is. Yeah.
And it's fancy dress. And to be honest, my friend Faye Milburn and I really go all out every year. And it started with, do you remember when those inflatable costumes came out where it was a horse and it would look, you would dress as a cowboy and then you would have the reins of a horse with some fake little legs.
Fantastic.
And it would look like you're riding a horse.
Amazing.
We did that, I think, in year nine.
Yeah.
And honestly, it absolutely brought the house down at St. Aidan's Church of England High School. Everybody loved it.
It's a great school. It's a great school.
Talking about it for months afterwards. It
was great. Maisie and her costumes. You can never underestimate the joy that a good costume will bring. And we get a lot of costumes on this show, you won't be surprised to hear. And I'll be honest, early doors on this show, I'm thinking of Pete Donaldson in particular, brilliant DJ and podcaster.
Yeah.
I really tore him a new one about the number of costumes that he bought. I really went for him. I was like, oh, you wacky. Like he was like sort of like a kind of David Brent thing. And I regret that now. Because costumes are just...
They're the best.
You know, it's pure joy. You're never going to stop laughing. All you got to do is stand there and go, hey. Huh?
I love it so much. I love it when it's done really, really well. And I love it when it's done really bad. I love every single type of fancy dress party. I think they're so much fun. I think you're either one of two people in the world, aren't you? You either absolutely live for fancy dress stuff or you hate it. You absolutely can't stand it.
I'm trying to cross over. I'm trying to become... I'm a Brexiteer with fancy dress at the moment and I need to become more of a Remainer,
come
if
on.
That makes sense.
Come on over.
I feel more marginalised. And Amazon has contributed to that as well.
It's so easy to do. Start yourself off with a little inflatable horse costume. One of my favourite memories from freshers at uni was this lad, Rayo, who turned up to a fancy dress costume. I think it was for Halloween. And he was in like a full yellow jumpsuit with like black stripes down it. Yeah. And he spent the whole night going, no, I'm Bruce Lee. Because everybody kept going, oh, all right, Kill Bill. You're all right, Kill Bill. And it was just the funniest thing, just watching him get more frustrated.
Bruce Lee, for God's sake.
I'm Bruce Lee. He wears a yellow jumpsuit. It's Bruce Lee. Looks like Uma Thurman to me, mate.
And also, I can imagine that the Uma Thurman thing did a lot of business that night. People go to him and say, you look like Uma Thurman.
That's 100%. 100%. Shouting over to him, going, excuse me, Uma Thurman, can you just get us a drink?
And presumably, Uma Thurman's going to stick as a nickname for him for years as well.
100%. 100%. He's still saved in my phone as Uma.
We have got... Book Day coming up, right? World Book Day is coming up. Well, by the time I broadcast, it might have happened, actually. And this is when kids just all go in fancy dress. They all dress as Harry Potter. Someone told me the other day that they know, and this is amazing, a year nine, so this is someone who's 12, 13, who did World Book Day dressed as Christian Grey.
Shut up.
They went in a suit.
No.
With those wire tag things.
No.
And loads of other paraphernalia at the age of 13.
Oh my God.
Got sent straight home. Is that brilliant?
Oh my God. That kid is going to grow up with such issues from being sent home for coming in as daddy Christian Grey.
I love it.
I know that those days always, they can be quite stressful for parents, can't they? World Book Day and World, like, because you forget that it's fancy dress. My parents did this with my brother. Mm. There used to be something called World Food Day at my infant school when you're really, really young. I don't think it probably goes ahead now because it's quite culturally inappropriate, I think, looking back, because you would have to dress as someone from that bit of the world and bring in the food of that world.
Oh, Lord.
Which was like fine if you're coming in as a French person, you wear a beret, mm-hmm. some garlic around your neck, and you bring in a baguette and some cheese.
Sure.
The difficulty is when we go to things like China.
Right.
My mum and dad were walking Danny to school. He's like 4 years old. Mm. And they start to clock that all the other kids approaching the school are dressed from around the world. So my dad had to run Danny home, open this like fancy dress place, the little emergency box of fancy dress costumes. And the only thing they had for Danny was this dinosaur costume. So Danny went to school and it was on the display board for like ages afterwards with loads of like, you know, people dressed as a Spanish matador bringing in some tapas. Mm. And then just Danny as a big Tyrannosaurus Rex. And the caption was just like, even dinosaurs have their own types of food. It was like...
That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, dinosaurs, of course, were all over the world, you know.
Exactly.
So
loved the world over.
Very cosmopolitan. Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
Way less problematic than coming in as somebody from China when you're not from China.
Yes. Oh, for God's sake. Yes, please. Also, we're sort of flagging for the school as well, who are allowing you to dress up for Red Nose Day. You know, when I was at school, it was a case of putting a red nose on for children in need, as this is here. You know, someone might put the Pugsy. Bandana over their eye or something like that, you know.
That's
but this
it.
Is quite laid back of your school. Was it quite a liberal, chilled out school that allowed you to do this, or
yeah oh, they encouraged like sillier the better, really push the boat out, I think was the message with school. They loved it. They
fuck
absolutely
about have
it.
A fuck about,
yeah. And also I think this will be quite relatable, but at school, like, the cool kids would mm-hmm. all dress as something like cave girls together,
right.
Which just meant that they backcombed the hair mm-hmm. and...
scantily dressed cave girl.
Yes,
is that what we're thinking?
You know
right?
what I mean? And like army women. You go, the women in the army do not look like you, Jessica. and then me and Faye would like go all out. So as I say, we started with this inflatable horse thing. It went down a treat. Went down an absolute treat. The next year, we thought, what are we going to do? We found inflatable costumes of Kenny and Carmen from South Park.
Yes. Oh, fantastic.
And then the following year... Faye went as Austin Powers, mm-hmm. and I went as Fat Bastard. it was a church school, and I think I was really pushing that liberalness by coming as something called Fat Bastard.
Already pushing the envelope culturally and
really,
artistically at that early stage. So we see you. This is when it begins.
It's not good, is it? It's one of them where you think, you know, sometimes when people go, oh, do you ever worry about your old tweets, Maisie, or anything like that? You go, it's more just the general decisions I made, like going to a charity event as a character called Fat Bastard.
They'll come back and haunt you. And thanks to the podcast, we're all going to know about this now. Were you a rebel then or not? Or were you? Was that just you?
Oh, God, no. No, I thought that's how little of a rebel I was, is that
Fine.
That's what I thought would be being rebellious.
Yeah, okay.
Look,
okay.
I've come as somebody called Fat Bastard. Mm. I can't say the word in the corridors, but I will.
And a teacher would say, who are you dressed as then, Adam?
Yeah, I can't say, sir. I can't say. you need to have seen Austin Powers.
We're going to 2013 now. That's your next hit here
Ooh.
On Amazon. Are you still at school in 2013 or have you left by this point?
No, 2013, I was working in Fat Face.
Right.
Because all my mates had gone to uni and I hadn't.
From Fat Bastard to Fat Face.
There's a theme here,
mm-hmm.
isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'd wanted to go to drama school and I needed to... I didn't get in the first time, so I was taking a year out to save up some money, work... I did Camp America that summer.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, it was lovely. It was amazing.
Have you spoken to Steve Bajaya about this? He's obsessed with Camp America.
Is he obsessed with Camp America?
Oh my God! He came on the podcast. He did a whole podcast about Camp America stuff. Yeah.
Oh God. Right. Okay. I need to talk to him about it.
Have
then.
That combo. Tell us about your Camp America experience then. Was it amazing?
I went to. So like when you're applying, you have to sort of say what sort of camp you wouldn't want to go to or for whatever reason.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to limit my chances. So I just said yes to like everything.
You ended up at the NRA summer camp, didn't you?
No. But I got given quite a churchy summer camp.
Okay. Is that your jam or not particularly? Or
like I went to Church of England school, but this was, we don't have it here, but Presbyterian, which is quite... quite evangelical, to be honest.
They absolutely love their Jesus.
Yeah, they love the Jesus. And it's sort of like all the pastors are in jeans, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Casual they preachers.
Hymns, but the hymns are accompanied by electric guitar. It was kind of that sort of jam. Mm. They would call it a jam rather than a hymn, you know?
Yeah, we're just going to have a jam for Jesus. Yeah. I've got this in my family. My brother's into that. Those vibes. There's pastors. Yeah. Absolutely right. It's the, you know, beware preachers in slacks.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A vicar with a tattoo is a warning sign. but it was lovely. I absolutely loved it. I really enjoyed it. And everyone was really, really cool. It was in New Jersey, which I think is quite... Because you hear some people who like... Obviously, I'm not saying there's bad bits of America.
Of course
I think
not.
If you want to go to Camp America, be somewhere where you can get to New York City within like just over an hour.
Sure.
Right. Imagine if you get like Oklahoma.
Mm. But I am fascinated by the Deep South of America. I'd love to go and visit it and stuff.
Oh, I'd love to visit it. I don't know if I'd like to be at a Bible camp for 3 months.
At the age of, like, what, 18, 19?
That's it. Mm. So I think I really looked out with New Jersey. It was lovely.
I really liked it. That is good. And fair to say, you've been to America a bit. I know this because, again, actually looking at your Wikipedia, any other dramatic incidents happened to you in America that you're happy to talk about on the podcast?
Sure. I mean, those who do a dive deeper than Wikipedia... I have spoken about this in my second Edinburgh show.
Yes.
Mainly because you need a good old hour to get right into it. Mm. But in a nutshell, when I was about in year eight, I went to... I'm going to contextualise it for you. When I was in like year eight, drama class was cancelled and we were like, the teacher had written on the board, just go to the computers and research Bertolt Brecht.
Sure.
So we went on the computers and obviously didn't research Bertolt Brecht. We were... dicking about, Googling each other's names, pressing Google image, pointing at it and going, ha, that's you.
Classic.
Great game.
Absolutely
great
brilliant game. Yeah.
Would always totally. Be like some old PhD American person and you'd be like, ha, that's you.
Yeah.
Sometimes a grave would pop up and you'd be like, ooh, you're dead. Mm-hmm. And then I Googled my name, pressed Google image.
Yes.
And a mugshot of my mum and my dad from the 90s popped up.
What did your friends do when they saw that? Or did you just quickly erase history?
I was in shock. They were in shock. They were like, this must be a prank. And I read it and it turns out that in like 1999, we'd been on a family holiday to Florida. Hmm. And my mum and dad had put me to bed in the hotel room and then gone downstairs, like only a flight of stairs, to watch a firework display by the pool for my dad's 35th birthday, I think.
Right.
I woke up. Went walkabout, couldn't get back into the hotel room because the door clicked shut behind
me. Classic.
Somebody found me and made the really normal decision of not taking me to reception, but instead ringing the police to report a neglected child.
They found you in the hotel and they rang the police?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I didn't like go walkabout and was on the streets. I was in the corridors and this woman was just like, what's up with you? And I said, I can't find my mum and dad. She went, neglected child, I'll ring the police.
Get the cops on the go. And also, the American police never knowingly overreact to stuff as well, famously.
Exactly.
If anything, they underreact.
That's it, Tom. And they had the really calm, nuanced response to this by deciding to put my mum and dad in a Florida jail for the night.
Where were you? Hang on. Surely, right? That's exacerbating the problem. Because you have been separated from your parents...
I wasn't neglected until they put them in jail.
Right.
And then I was very neglected.
It's upsetting.
Up until that point, I was just in a different room to my parents.
But crucially, in the same building as your parents.
Crucially, lovingly tucked into bed.
Yeah.
Also, you know, this was pre other events that have since happened.
Yes.
So it was the 90s. Loads of people put the kids to bed and then walked off to watch a firework display. They went to watch a firework display. They didn't go off to go on a big sesh or a big night out.
No.
So that ended up sort of hitting the news because they had to.
What happened to you when they went into prison for the night?
I'm guessing social services.
Oh my! Do you remember this? How old were you?
No recollection. I was 5 years old. First I heard of it was when I was Googling my name in front of my mates. In drama.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I wish I'd bloody Googled Bertolt Brecht.
Oh, wow. Fantastic. Okay, good. So,
got home that night and was just like, Mum, I googled my name and I saw something today. And my dad just went, oh no.
The internet has struck.
Oh, well, that's it. Like, the internet was not the thing it was when it happened. No. So I think they just thought, we'll tell her when she's like, you know, 16, 17 and old enough to read.
Or when she needs her first or second hour. That's when we'll tell her, because it's a great Edinburgh show basis.
When she didn't know what to talk about for a second Edinburgh show.
That difficult second album, exactly. Also, weren't you tempted when you went to do Camp America, weren't you tempted to say to your parents, I'm going to go to America and look after kids? Do you know what I mean?
I was a little bit like, because you never know, you know when they go like, oh, you're not going to get into America if you've got any previous criminal convictions. And I was like, I mean, first of all, it wasn't me. Second of all, they didn't get charged. But still, what if it's on the record?
I was
a nervous wreck going through customs.
I mean, everyone's a nervous wreck going through customs at the best of times.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a living hell. All right, well, listen, there's a lot of American business going on, actually, in your Amazon purchase history here.
Is there?
NFL football sports Seattle Seahawks cufflinks. This is 5th of June, 2013.
Yeah, so this is when I was leaving Fat Face.
Right.
And my boss was a guy called Rob, who was really into NFL.
Right.
And I'd worked at Fat Face, I think, since like 2009, 2010. It's like my first job.
Yeah.
I'd done waitressing at a golf club for £3.50 an hour, and it was awful.
Speaking as a golfer, can you just confirm all golfers are great people? Yeah? Cool?
Oh, yeah? God. It was horrific. It was horrific. And it came to a head when they had a wedding party there and I spilt the gravy boat on the bride. And I think it was by mutual consent that we terminated our working relationship.
It's impossible not to have a working relationship terminated when you are standing in front of a bride covered in your spilt gravy. There's no way you're
so
bouncing
bad.
Back from that. Oh my God!
At
what stage in the day was it? Like towards the no? Because if it's food.
It was like during the wedding breakfast.
Jesus, mother of God.
Has she done
pictures by this point?
I would hope so. Oh. I would hope so. But she, she understandably was, I think the word is livid.
Yeah, okay.
It was not good. And then, so I started like applying for other jobs and retail. As when you're 16, retail is the dream.
Yeah.
It's folding clothes. Yeah. Having a chat to people going, what have you got planned for the rest of your day?
Oh, lovely.
And then, would you like your receipt in the bag?
Oh, my God, you're slipping into it.
This was your
first role. Like, the way your tone of voice, your body language changes when you do it, it's incredible.
I think if you spoke to Rob, he would have a very different recollection of my commitment to that job role, because I very much did just see it as, this is something easy to do that will earn me money so that I can go on those big nights out.
Yes, right. Living for the weekend.
I saw it as a means to afford Jaeger bombs. That was what this job role was.
Jaeger bomb tokens. Okay, good.
That's it. But Rob was a nice boss to me, and whenever I came back from university, he gave me extra shifts. So when I left, I wanted to get him something like a nice little present. And he was really into NFL. And like, nobody's into NFL in the UK, are they?
Well,
really?
Certainly not in 2013. It's growing massively now, though.
It's growing massively. It's still very, very boring. It's very boring
it's
as a sport.
Quite niche. And I don't know why I always want to do this sort of balance thing. I'm not on the BBC. I agree with you. I've never watched it more than for 3 minutes.
I think quite strongly that people who are into NFL, you're into the aesthetic of NFL.
The Americana.
Yeah.
Aguilera at halftime, don't mind if
That's
I do.
It. You're into the halftime Super Bowl culture. You're into the fact that you have to wear a stupid looking helmet and these big shoulder pads.
So you're suggesting you're into the kind of the Americana masculinity of it. You want to be a cowboy.
I think so.
Yeah, no, I'm going with that.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
Because God knows it can't be because of the sport itself, because it's such a dull game.
Have to completely change your team for defence and then back again for attack,
right?
You have completely different players. Imagine doing that in football or rugby. It doesn't make any sense.
It stops more than rugby. Anyway.
Good. Okay.
But he was a big fan of this team called the Seattle Seahawks. Yeah. So I got him some cufflinks and they went down very well as a present. And I think nearly made up for all of the times I was hungover for a Sunday morning shift.
Fat Face is quite a cool shop to work at, though, isn't it? Certainly then it was quite trendy, right?
Yeah, I worked at it at the time where it was kind of maybe going from trendy surf shop to what it is now, which is sort of like liberal parents who like to go on holiday to Cornwall.
Literally the only word I had lined up in my head was Cornwall.
Cornwall, yeah,
Cornwall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Their kids are called things like Juniper.
Mm.
That, like, we used to get a lot of dads. This used to happen a lot. We used to get a lot of dads who, whilst they were at the till paying, would show how cool they were by indicating that they knew the song that was playing. because Fat Face has a certain playlist that's very, a lot of Ben Howard going on there. We've got a lot of Ben Howard.
I know Ben Howard, mate. Go on, keep him coming.
A bit of Passenger, that kind of thing. And you used to get a lot of blokes tapping on the till whilst their card was authorising.
Is this James Morrison, mate? Yeah, I know this
Literally,
one. Yeah.
Just tapping the pin in and then going, only know when to lie when you're feeling low. Only miss a home when you're in your home. Yeah. Do you want your seat in the bag, Jeremy?
I love it.
I used to, I mean, this is really bad, but also, like, if there was difficult customers, like, because you used to get quite a lot of, I think, what we would now call Karens.
Yes.
Because it's not cheap as Fat Face. So you get some people coming in and they've got money to spend. And then if they've got money to spend, they've just got a certain aura about them. And sometimes if you're on women's wear, these sort of middle-aged, middle-class women come in and go, do you have this in a 12? And then you go, oh, I'm really sorry that all the sides we've got are out. Well, can't you go and look? And then I would go, yeah, all right, then sure. And then I'd just go down to the delivery room and have a little sit, play a bit of Minesweeper on my BlackBerry.
Did you genuinely just stand there?
Yeah, just to go down and have a sit on the bench. Keep her going for keep it so long that she started to get a little bit of hope that maybe when you come back up, she's telling everybody else, this is why you've got to tell them to have a look, because there just might be.
I love it.
And you come back up and you go, yeah, sorry, all sizes are out.
That is fucking great. Still got Minesweeper going in your hand. Oh god, sorry, just put that away.
But in good news, I've got a new high score, so.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, let's move on, Maisie. Okay. We're going to go into 2014 now, and I think you might be...
First year of uni.
Right, okay. What were you studying at uni?
I went to East 15 Acting School and did acting and community theatre.
Well, that's why you've bought Theatre of the Oppressed, Get Political, Man.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff. Games for actors and non-actors as well.
Oh, God, yeah. These are all in a charity shop now.
Did you read any of them?
No. Well, I read the bits that were required for you to read in order to do the essay on the book.
So it was quite academic then. You had to do essays and stuff. It wasn't just all practical.
This is the thing, Tom. Yeah. So I'm not academic at all. And I was lucky enough at school to have a really good drama teacher.
Right.
Who, when she wasn't telling us to go and research Bertolt Brecht and leading to an entire breakdown, she was really good. And she was like, she was quite frank with me and said, you know, you're not academic. Don't go to university and study drama, because you'll just find yourself doing essays and it's a lot of theory stuff. You want to stick to practical.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to a drama school.
And which actor has ever got on set and when asked to do something has said, oh, I wrote an essay on this. Brilliant essay on this, so I've got this, of course.
People say Judi Dench's acting is great, but have you ever read her essays? Because that's her best work. So I applied for drama schools, obviously very competitive. So as we've said, didn't get in the first time. Saved up, worked for a year, came back and got a place at East 15. And it was a practical course, but there were still theory elements to it, of course. And so with the community theatre aspect, we had to write a lot about people like Augusto Boal.
Oh, yeah.
I really can't tell you much more about further than this. You're looking at somebody who's written maybe like a 1,500-word essay on this person, and I really had to think then about what his name was. It just stuff like that, even when it's as admirable as the stuff he did, I know that he was a good person.
Yeah.
It goes in one ear for me and out the other.
I think if I was shown my essays from university, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a fucking clue what they meant.
No, and also, like, it's that thing, isn't it, of with essays, you're not actually giving your thoughts or your opinions on it. You are trying to tick the boxes that the person marking the essay is looking for.
Yeah.
So you've got to mention and drop in certain bloody words and I just thought, oh,
it's
for
just
God's
like
sake, can we not just agree that we both have read the book and we both think he's a good person?
You're just sort of trying to write a love letter to your tutor, essentially. Basically what you're doing is writing fan fiction for your tutor that's going to give them an absolute stiffy.
It's so boring. Yeah. And I can still remember lots of the stuff I learned about the practice of both acting and community theatre. I can remember all of the stuff that was actually practical, useful, in the room, advice, techniques, the brass tacks of community theatre.
How many brass tacks? Five? Six?
Oh, there's at least five brass tacks of community theatre.
Fine.
Always start with a game of Zip Zap Boing.
How does Zip Zap Boing go, please?
Oh, come on, you know Zip Zap
Boing.
Well,
tell me, hopefully I'll remember.
Zip to the left, zap to the right, boing across the circle.
Yeah, great. Yeah. All right, fine. So we've agreed drama school's a waste of time. Very good.
I think if you look through 2014, all my orders are just...
Yeah, it's all that.
Just plays.
Yeah, there's stuff about Marlon Brando, The Great Dictator, Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, yeah, our acting teacher insisted that we watch that for the monologue. I mean, you could just YouTube it, but apparently we had to buy the whole film.
Of course.
Chaplin's not even alive to get the royalties anymore.
No one's getting any money from that. What's the point?
Good sake.
There is a lot of money wasted at university. It's true. 2015, you have bought Beryl, Modern Plays.
Oh, now, if we want to talk about a play, a theatrical book that was worth buying.
Yeah.
I was on placement at the what was then known as the West Yorkshire Playhouse.
Oh, yeah.
So again, I took this practical course, and then towards the third year, they were like, oh, you have to do a placement that's within an admin role.
Oh.
I was like, the reason I did this was so that I would be up on stage not doing the admin, okay?
And presumably at this point, you could hear the voice of your teacher from school echoing in your head, don't do anything theoretical.
Yeah, but I'd followed her advice. I'd gone to acting school.
But still, you were doing this shit.
Yeah. And so luckily, I got in touch with the woman that used to run my youth theatre when I used to go to West Yorkshire Playhouse for the youth theatre there. Mm. And I just got in touch with her and was like, can I just shadow you for 2 weeks doing your Excel spreadsheets?
Sure.
So I did that. It was great. But at the time when I was there, there was this play on called Beryl, written by Maxine Peake.
Oh.
And it's about Beryl Burton, the cyclist, who still to this day maintains most of the world records, not just for women cyclists, but for cyclists in general. It was amazing. I don't know how we haven't heard of her more than we have. She's in relative obscurity.
Yeah.
Yorkshire lass, incredible cyclist. And it was just this... it was only doing a few weeks at the Playhouse.
Yeah.
And it had this girl that used to be in Shameless... playing Beryl Burton.
That probably explains the Maxine Peake connection, right? Because she was in Shameless, wasn't she, Maxine?
Yes,
Peake?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. It was so good, Tom. It was one of the best plays I've ever seen.
Mm.
And so I bought the play so that I could relive it. Because it's one of those things, isn't it? When you come out of like when you come out of a stand up show, you go, "Oh, that was great," but you can't imagine you can't remember the precise bits.
Yes.
That you go, oh, I wish I could remember how that joke was told or how that scene was done. So I got the play mainly just so that I could read it back and sort of play it in my head.
I've got a very...
but it's amazing.
I've got a very sort of Teflon brain like that in terms of watching stand-up. And like friends of mine, like Clint, for example, Clint Edwards, a brilliant stand-up comic, he will come out of watching a show and he will recite all of the bits you've done. He'll be like, oh, Maisie was amazing. This bit. And then he'll do word for word the three or four brilliant minutes. And I'm just sitting there going, I like the bit where she talks about her haircut. Was that a good bit?
Yeah.
My brain just can't cope with it.
No. I've been lucky enough to do tour support for Jason Manford on quite a few of his dates.
Yes.
And I still don't think I could recite like one routine.
Yeah.
Again, I'd be a bit like you. I'd be going, well, oh, it's about his kids, but I can't. can't remember exactly.
We have
it's
same,
definitely funny.
We have similar brains. It's, I think it's like a visual versus literal brain or something like that. It's just I cannot absorb that sort of stuff. But does that make you nervy then when you go on stage and you've got a bit? Because the stand-ups who can be precise really nail it, whereas I'm always a bit like...
It means I really struggle with like new material nights or work in progress because I can't remember what the exact wording was to get the joke right. So like, I don't know how you write. I'll write my set and let's say I've got like a routine on trains. I'll have just written trains.
Yeah.
I won't have written what was funny about it.
Yeah.
So then it's just left to me on stage trying to work out. And then I do record it, but I can't bear to listen back to it.
No.
So it's a long process before I've got a good joke about trains, basically.
And the problem with that is that when you do eventually listen back to it, in my case, several years later, I'm like, oh, this is all right, this. Whereas in the moment, I'm always like, oh, no, I can't bear to listen back to it. God. No,
yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
Beryl
exactly.
Burton, right?
Yeah.
English racing cyclist. Oh my gosh, she won more than 90 domestic championships and seven world titles. I'm on Wikipedia. She set a women's record for the 12-hour time trial, which exceeded the men's record for 2 years. Exceeded the men's record for 2 years. And it doesn't say here the date when she got engaged. So her Wikipedia is not as good as yours.
It was so, so good. It was so good. And her husband, Charlie, was basically the person that helped train her and supported her. They would get up at stupid o'clock and pack this bike into the back of their tiny little car and drive all over the place. It was a really, really good story. And I hope it gets revived somewhere, because if it ever does, you should go see it.
Would you play Beryl?
Oh, genuinely, I came out of that being like, because at this point as well, I wasn't thinking about being a stand-up comedian. I was thinking about being an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was that was it. As I came out of that going, that's a role I would love to play.
Exciting,
it was amazing.
I love that. Yeah. I love that moment. All right, that's good. That's Beryl by Maxine Peake, story of Beryl Burton. Have a Google of Beryl Burton, guys. It's very, very good indeed.
Oh,
really interesting.
Oh, my days. This is so embarrassing. I don't remember buying all these silly little strange things. I swear on my life, I was forced by my wife with an ABBA penknife that I bought on ABBA. Wait a minute.
August 2018, a 24-pack of handheld paper fans.
Oh, my God. Right, you will understand this. This is an emergency purchase at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Hooray!
Of my debut year.
Your first year was 2018. So you did stand up for the first time in 2017 and you're at Edinburgh in 2018.
Yeah, one So You Think You're Funny at 2017 Edinburgh Fringe.
Jeez.
So that's the only reason I went up was to compete in the final.
How was that moment winning So You Think You're Funny? Was that just
absolutely mental.
Yeah.
Absolutely mental. There was a great, you'll know this person, but there's a great comic called Morgan Rees who was in my final. Welsh guy, and he came third, and he absolutely roofed it. So when he was in that, when you're stood at that in that little room at the side, and they said in third place Morgan Rees, I was like, oh well, if this kid came third,
right
off, like mentally wrote myself right off.
Yeah.
And then a great comic called Sarah Mann came second, and then it was me. So absolutely insane. Didn't expect it at all. It was ridiculous. And then the next year went up with my first show, which was called Vague. Yeah. And I was at the Gilded Balloon in a room called the Wee Room, which I think seats about 50, 55 people.
I think the Scottish intonation is better, the Wee Room, rather than the Wee Room. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. We make it sound like a urinal, don't we?
Yeah.
The Wee Room.
Aye.
And it was hotter than the sun in there.
Mm-hmm.
No windows. No ventilation.
No air. Yeah, of course. Everyone wearing raincoats because it's been raining outside.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it was just so, so hot. And you've got, I think, 15 minutes between each show. So it was, let me get this right. It was Gráinne Maguire on before me, then me, and then Red Richardson.
Right.
And it was so hot that Gráinne would be, you know, collecting all of her stuff and be dripping.
Yeah.
And then I would start the same as well.
Yeah.
So we all decided that we would all each purchase however many fans. I can't remember how many.
24-pack.
24-pack.
24-pack,
So, yeah, I put a 24-pack because I thought one between two, you know, put them on every other seat. Listen, I'm not made of money. It's the first Edinburgh Fringe, Tom. It's a miracle if you break even. I'm not buying people a fan each.
Okay? Share your fans. Wow, that is great. That's very primary school. I like that. One between two, take one, pass it on.
Well, I just meant that I'll put them on every other seat because I also think if everybody's got one, you're probably getting the flap of the person next to you, so you don't need to be flapping yourself anyway.
Fair.
One between two is what I went for. And also, inevitably, people fucking take them.
Of course, even though
they're going outside into the fresh air, people would fold them up and take them. So, Gronje bought some, Red bought some, Andrea Hubert, who was also in the room, she bought some.
Yeah.
And then I bought these. I didn't realise mine were heart-shaped, I have to say.
They are.
And then they
that's
arrived.
Very you, Maisie. But also, what's interesting about what it says here on your Amazon is you sent them back. So did you collect 24 that had been used by sweaty
Edinburgh
people?
I got two. So I ordered 24 for a 50-sized room, and then they sent two packs of 24. So I returned one.
So rather than keeping...
Rather than going, I've now got one... One for everybody.
Yeah, or
and I haven't paid any more for it.
Yeah, you sent them back.
It's the Edinburgh Fringe. Money is money there. I thought I could get, I could then get a refund, and then I've had 24 for free rather than 50.
And that, you probably earned more than anyone else at Edinburgh that year through that move alone.
If people would like to book me to do a seminar on how to make money at the Edinburgh Fringe, that's the only way. You have to order heart-shaped fans and them over-deliver so that you can refund them.
It's what
and
Edinburgh teaches you. It teaches you
then
about...
Then you might break even.
It teaches you about comedy. It teaches you about margins. These are the important things you need to learn about. Good. Let's see what else we've got here. Girls will be girls dressing up. Something, something. What's this, please? This is by Emma O'Toole. It's a book.
This is a book this will be summer 2020, wouldn't it?
Yeah, summer 2020. Yeah. Now we're in lockdown, or sort of out of lockdown maybe by that point.
We're in lockdown. So I spent lockdown with my, living with my boyfriend, so fiance, currently engaged, my fiance and my brother. We live together.
Interesting combo, the three
interesting
of you.
Combo, especially for a lockdown.
Yeah.
And my brother was going out with, at the time, a very lovely girl, and she was very socially conscious.
Oh.
And my brother, I've never heard him have these conversations before, and suddenly he was talking about, actually, gender's a spectrum.
And
he started eating a lot of corn. Positive changes, don't get me
positive
wrong.
Because in the past, your brother, bit of a dinosaur.
Bit of a dinosaur, exactly. Exactly.
But now?
Now, yeah. So, sometimes it was quite taxing being in a lockdown and the conversations in the evening were sort of in-depth debates about social constructs.
Yes.
And you think, do you know what? We're in a pandemic. Can we just watch the one show and mong out? Can we just do that, please?
Yeah. Well, also, you've got Why I'm No Longer Talking to White People About Race. Brilliant, brilliant book. But again,
brilliant book.
Conversations we
brilliant
all have book. To have. I'm not for a second saying they're not conversations we should be having. But...
Also, that book, obviously, in that summer of 2020, the conversation was so prominent that I think even as somebody who thought that they knew what racism was, the discourse, which was very much needed, started to make you think, oh, I clearly don't know what I need to know about this. I'm clearly not schooled up. So, went through a little bit of a deep dive into... With that book about structural racism.
Did you read those books whilst also using the Aerobi 10-inch sprint rings, I wonder? Is that... That's a combo,
and
isn't
then
it?
I was reading the Girls Will Be Girls book, which is very good, very interesting. Glad that it was recommended to me by my brother's girlfriend at the time. And then to sort of counteract this, when we were allowed our one daily walk... Because some of the conversations at home were, you know...
Heavy,
I would describe. Conversations, as you say, that need to happen, but heavy.
But heavy, yeah.
Suddenly, there's a lot more relying on your walk for the light relief.
Sure.
And I love a walk as much as the next person, but if you get an aerobie involved, it's a very fun walk all of a sudden.
Explain. What does an aerobie do?
An aerobie? Okay, so it's a frisbee.
It's a frisbee, right, okay.
It's a frisbee, yeah. But it's the best type of frisbee you can get. You can be the worst frisbee thrower in the world, but an aerobie will make you look like you could do it as an Olympic sport.
Oh,
it's
God.
Great. I love it. I don't know how they've... I don't know the physics that goes into an aerobie, yeah. But it's basically... You know how a frisbee is a plastic disc?
Yeah.
An aerobie is just a ring.
Yeah.
So there's nothing in the middle, like a very, very thin, bad donut.
Right. Right.
And
you just wang it,
I live
basically.
In Brighton. I live in Brighton and everybody was going to the beach for their...
Of course.
...one daily allowed walk or whatever.
Yes.
So the beach was horrific. So we started going to the parks instead and doing different parks every day and going around them. So an aerobie was just... An aerobie was my best bit of lockdown. I loved it.
And you could, because there is actually Ultimate Frisbee. There is actually a game, like a sort of football version of frisbee, which I see people play, and they're amazing, like properly diving around.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah.
The thing which I always think is very cool, sort of the ultimate sign of being a grown up, is being able to throw a, like when you throw a frisbee, instead of throwing it with the back of your hand, throwing it. Well, how do we describe that?
Forehand.
Well, forehand, like in tennis, exactly right. Yeah, so forehands.
Yeah, people look so cool doing that.
So cool.
I don't even think with an aerobie that that's a particularly easy thing to do. No. I've never been able to do it. I can dream. I can hope.
If there was a TV show like a Taskmaster but for looking cool, like things you wanted to do.
Yeah, a forehand frisbee throw
right
is up there, isn't it?
Right up there, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, so good. So 2020, a heavy year in many, many ways, but thank God for the aerobie keeping you sane. Elsewhere, you've bought Sister Act, you've bought some tuna in spring water, 95 grams.
Oh, yeah. So this Sister Act, my friend Beth went through a breakup at the beginning of lockdown.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, like really, really like, yeah, she was so unhappy. Mm. And so we would do every Thursday... We'd watch a film together at the same time over Zoom.
Oh.
We'd also like draw something in the week. We had a week to draw something, and then we'd share it because we're both really bad at art. and I let Beth pick the films that she wanted to watch because you got to let the heartbroken person pick. And she really wanted to watch Sister Act. I don't have it. It's not on Netflix. So you got to buy it on Amazon and watch it on there. Mm. The tuna. I bought for Katie Corran, who runs the Gilded Balloon, and has always looked after me at Edinburgh. And I know it was really tough them not being able to put the Edinburgh Fringe on.
So you bought her some tuna.
And I go and stay with her when I go up to Edinburgh. I live at her house, which is very nice of her.
Wow.
But I just made this little package that was like, oh... Here's all the best bits of Edinburgh, so it's going ahead. Because I'm a really good friend.
That is amazing. In case you're missing me, to remind you of me, some tuna.
Here's some tuna. Don't let that be the case.
That's where I'm going.
We'd just done Adelaide Fringe before it all kicked off with COVID.
Yes.
I'd been up at Adelaide Fringe. She came over as well. She had some acts there. And they have this tuna over there that's got like chili flakes in it. Mm. She was obsessed with it. She bought a load to take back to herself. I cannot imagine what her suitcase smelt like going back to Edinburgh. But I decided to put some in this little care package for her. And the only place you could buy it was Amazon.
There he is. Bezos. He's your tuna
Jeff
dealer.
Jeff Bezos. Yeah. I mean, you try trying to find Adelaide tuna in Brighton.
No,
it just doesn't happen.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen at all. That's very caring of you. And of course, the lack of Edinburgh in 2020 and to an extent 2021 must have been crushing for those big venues. So what a nice person you are, Maisie. Is that the conclusion you want us to reach here in the podcast? Is that what we're trying to get to? Yeah. So it does everything for charity.
I'm just a real humanitarian, I guess.
I don't know why I'm laughing so hard.
I put the human in humanitarian. A lot of people have said that I'm sort of the Bob Geldof or Bono of comedy.
Patreon.com/toasterpod. What else have we got here in 2021 now, Maisie? We've got a lava lamp.
These are harder to justify the more recent it is, isn't it? Like when you've
Who's
got
that
something
idiot?
Embarrassing,
was you 2 weeks
yeah,
ago?
When you've got something embarrassing from 10 years ago, you're like, oh God, what was I like?
Yeah, I've really been on a journey, Tom. Really been on a journey. Yeah, can't do that now. Mm-hmm.
Lava lamp.
I mean, that's okay. Just, you know, nothing wrong with that.
I mean, so me and my fiance moved into a place just for us two.
Your poor brother.
I know. at the beginning of last year.
Must be quite awkward to celebrate moving. Yeah, we're together. Fuck you, dinosaur boy.
I know.
How does that map out?
In January 2021, we moved into a place for just us two. Oh. It was all fine. My brother was absolutely sound about it. Yeah. And he's still just round the corner. He's like two streets away. Mm-hmm. But the only lamp that I had in my room was this lava lamp that I'd had for ages.
Yeah.
And this will sound so juvenile, but I find lava lamps fascinating. I just stare at them and then I fall asleep. And it's the best way to fall asleep ever. I just watch it, waiting until the blobs get too big and then they separate and then they float back down. And it's so calming and it's so lovely. I love it so much.
You're
so I have this
lava lamp addict. You have like a comfort lava lamp.
So I have a lava lamp, and my boyfriend would find this really funny that I'm obsessed with a lava lamp. And then I started to go, "Well, you watch it, and you'll fall asleep way easier." And he started doing it, and he fell asleep like a baby.
Can this be deployed as a superpower? So, for example, if I suddenly got a lava lamp out now, would you just nod off while we were doing the podcast?
Yeah, I just love it. I find it so calming and so fascinating. So Mike started to watch it as well, and it was working a treat. So then he was like, "But I don't sleep facing that way." Oh. So then we were like, "Well,
you've got his and hers lava lamps."
So we got. Oh God, this is so uncool. But yeah, we were like, "Well, you can have mine, and I'll get a new one." So
is it like good night then, love you, thanks for getting engaged to me. Yeah, love you. See you tomorrow.
And then we face away from each other.
There's just a little noise. There we go. Just pop that on. What's yours doing? Oh, it's really blobby at the top. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. We're a young couple in our 20s.
Yes!
We should not be falling asleep like this, but that is it. We go, "No, no, I love you." And then we face away from each other and watch a lamp until we fall asleep.
I mean, that is fantastic.
God, that's so uncool.
Have you ever told anyone in public this before? Because this is going to get headlines up and running.
No, and I didn't even think about it. I started telling this story, and then as the words were coming out of my mouth, was like, "This is so embarrassing. This is so sad."
It's sweet.
You spend ages trying to cultivate this image, going, "Oh, yeah, I don't give a fuck. I shaved the back of my head."
she's a bit punk, Maisie Adam. Yeah, she's a bit punk.
Yeah.
Lava lamp
I'm really
on.
Punk.
Good night. Oh. My God, that's fucking insane. I just also like when the two of you go on your honeymoon, you're going to have a travel lava lamp. These are all the things you've got to think about.
My God, we are.
Fuck, I've really enjoyed that. That's very funny.
We're going to have to bubble wrap our lava lamps to take them abroad.
Yeah. I just like the idea of back to back.
It's
just
so,
a little
honestly,
chat about it as well. Mine's got a really big blob at the top. Mine has as well. Do you want to swap? Do you want to swap lava
sometimes
lamps?
Sometimes I'll be like watching mine, and then I'll hear him go, "Oh," and I know that means, "Oh, it's getting ready. It's getting ready to say." Oh God, this is so uncool. This is so uncool. This is the most uncool thing I've ever said. I'm blushing as I'm speaking because it's.
What, see your little.
I can hear how sad this sounds.
And then are you like, "Gizzle, look. Let me have a look. Stop rubbernecking my lava lamp."
Yeah, sometimes he'll make a sound that makes you go, "Oh, I've got to check this out. What's it done?" And I have to get up and look. So sometimes it doesn't really help us go to sleep because you're hearing somebody else.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, and sometimes you get envy because you'll be able to tell that his is doing more exciting stuff than mine. Dear.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that. I think that's people will love that. This is really making
anybody judging me listening to this, buy yourself a lava lamp.
Exactly.
And then thank me later.
And save a fortune on Netflix.
Yeah, people love to go, "Oh, what's that app that's where like you hear the sound of rain as you're falling asleep?"
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, well, you probably have to pay a subscription to that. You know what you don't have to pay? A lava lamp.
Yeah.
You have to pay once and then, but it earns its keep.
I don't think you have to pay a subscription to hear the sound of rain falling in this country, but yeah, I take your point.
But people do. People do.
They fucking do. All right, listen, Maisie, we're getting into 2021 now. We'll just pick up on a couple of things here. We've got an easy release Ice Cube Tray. This has changed my life as well. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an Ice Cube Tray made out of this sort of rubber type vibe. And, you know, instead of getting the Ice Cube Tray out of the freezer and you don't have to do that anymore. You just
game changer. Absolute game changer. I feel like I'm winning at life every time I make a gin and tonic.
Exactly. The ice industry is really booming. And it goes well, of course, with the tequila, 700 millilitres of tequila you bought on the 1st of August 2021.
Have you seen what it is, though? It's Tequila Rosé.
Tequila Rosé. Oh, Tequila Rosé. Isn't that a play?
It looks like... You remember the Teletubbies?
Right. Yes.
You know, they
yes.
used to have Tubby Toast and then they'd have Tubby Custard, which was like yes. that bright pink stuff. It looks like Tubby Custard.
Oh.
And this was...
There's still a taste of tequila, though. It's still got the tequila.
Kind of, but like, no, it's nice and strawberry. It is very nice. It's very sweet. But my friend Liv is going out with this guy called Ed, who's a proper geezer. Like, he's proper geezer.
Yeah.
It was his 30th. And me and Mike were invited, and we said we messaged Liv saying, "Oh, we'll get Ed a drink. What's his tipple?" And honestly, I really thought it was going to be like he likes a good Scotch yeah. whiskey, you know, or I don't know, or
the blood of his enemies,
a
one
big
of those.
Thing of like cask yeah. beer, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then she said, "Oh, he's really into Tequila Rosé." I was convinced this was a joke, but it's not. He clearly he's been reading those gender books that my brother is also reading, because he's very comfortable to admit that he loves a Tequila Rosé.
You know what you want to do next time? Just try and push him even further. Go Bailey's on him, see what happens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Push him. Yeah. Push him out there. See how comfortable he is in his own gender. Take him to Bailey's. I am a Bailey's addict. I talk about it every episode. We should really get
it sponsorship. It is lovely. Yeah, I think you'd like this then. It's got the texture of Bailey's. It's that smooth creaminess, but it tastes of strawberry custard. With like the ever so slight hint of tequila. I didn't get any tequila from trying it, I'll be honest with you.
I would like to see an episode of the Teletubbies where they all get shit-faced on tequila.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? When they're all just doing shots.
Also, 13th of July 2021, you've bought a Shiwi, the Pitch and Trek female urinal, the travel urinal.
No
Great
shame
news.
Here.
Absolutely
no shame
not.
Here.
No.
Latitude Festival. I'd done it once before. Very, very lovely festival. You get to perform there and then you get a nice free ticket, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. And I'd done it the last time and it was fine, but I had to keep... Listen, between friends, Tom, once I go for a wee...
No one else is listening. It's just you and me. Yeah.
Once I go for a wee, I'm non-stop. I have to keep going. Once
you're breaking the seal.
Once the seal's broken, I've got the bladder of a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. And so... That's fine normally if you're at a bar, because the most inconvenient thing you have to do is keep getting up and going to the loo. When you're at a festival and you've queued to get a good bit, you know, in the crowd to see the headline act and you keep needing a wee, it's a lot to keep going, excuse me.
It's a horrible thing as well. And you do that thing where you tell yourself, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm fine, don't worry about it, I'm okay.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
you realise that voice has got loud. I had this the other day, I went to the premiere, check me out, of Pam and Tommy, you know, the sex tape thing. It was fucking shit, absolute shit.
Oh, really?
And I sat there desperately needing a wee, because there were free drinks, free water. I just got stuck in.
Fatal.
And the entire second episode, it's the volume element. It's the fact that your brain's going, no, it's fine, don't worry about it, it's fine, you don't need a wee, and you're just like, I can't ignore this anymore.
It's horrible. You try everything. You try thinking of dry things. I was stood there waiting for Solange, and I was just thinking of crackers, Rivitas, sand, sedimentary rock.
Yeah.
Wasn't helping. And eventually you got to go. And then you've got to come all the way back going, sorry, excuse me, sorry. And it's all these people that, like you, have been queuing for ages to get a good bit, and you're just there. And most headliners do a set of, like, you know, an hour and a bit. So,
well, there's always that moment when you're watching a headliner, someone you've waited ages to see. For me, it's three or four songs in and I just kind of go, yeah, I've got this now. This is great.
I love it. I decided that for the next... thingy, what I would buy was a Shiwi. I'd heard the rumours that they were very, very good.
Can you just do it there and then? Can you just put that?
So it's like a little like pink a mould that fits very nice around your lady bits.
Okay.
And means there's no spillage. And I bought that, and then I'll show you it actually. Hang on.
Oh, okay. She's up. This is now called doing a Tim Key.
I bought this long black coat, which is basically like a flasher mac.
Wow, you've got a piss coat.
Yeah, it's basically a pissy coat. So
oh
I bought
my God.
It. It's floor length and it's very light. So I'd have it rolled up in my bag and then I'd get it out, do all the poppers up, right? So I look like Inspector Gadget. And then you can just get your shiwi out. You wee into, this is so gross, but you wee into an empty plastic cup.
Mm.
And then crouch down as if, oh, I've just dropped something.
Whoops-a-daisy.
And you just gently pour it onto the grass.
Right, right. And it'll get nicely absorbed. You know, it's not like you're doing this on concrete. You're doing this on the grass, off it goes.
It's on the grass. I mean, you've probably stood in worse things. If you're standing in my wee at latitude, then you've got a wee lightly, to be honest.
I once had a whole pint of piss thrown on the back of my head at Glastonbury.
That's it. Well, I remember going to see the Strokes in Doncaster and people were just throwing piss everywhere. Yeah. Whereas what we need is more people wearing a floor-length mac.
Yeah, that's
and then
the key for
gently
me.
Gently crouching down to sort of... I mean,
you sort of stand there looking like a henchman. That's the problem. You look like there's a sort of Nazi vibe to it.
The feeling of gently pouring out your wee onto the grass is quite... quite interesting as well.
Right.
So did that at the last latitude. It worked very well. Chemical Brothers, I wanted to get right to the front and I did. And then I just needed to do one nice big wee. I mean, bloody hell, it was like nearly filled the pint glass. But
right. Did you have a little, like a sort of piss in the mosh pit? Is that how it worked?
Oh, God, no, no. Wasn't
you
that
pull yourself
far
off
forward.
To the side.
No, right, it wasn't that far forward. But you know when you're like between the sound desk and the...
Yeah.
So you're not in the in the midst of it. But if you try and go to the loo, there's no way you're getting back.
It's a useful skill to have as well for when you get older and it's no longer festivals, but just going to the shops.
Just going to shops, yeah. Listen,
whatever it is.
I heard a lot of chat about shiwis and I thought, oh, don't be ridiculous. And then I bought one and I think it was great.
Okay, great, 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 great. Get on the shiwis, guys. Everyone's going to leave this. They're going to buy the play Beryl and a shiwi.
And a shiwi.
Lava lamp, oh my God. The lava lamp story is my highlight of the series so far.
Oh, no.
Listen, an Amazon purchase history and you have been the perfect combo for the show today. Thank you so much, Maisie Adam, for joining me on My
Thank
Mate
you,
Bought a Toaster.
Tom
I
Price.
Think you are brilliant. Are you? What should we plug? Are you on the Twitters and all that business? Should we do that? How should we end this?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram, I'm on tour in the autumn.
Hello.
I don't know when this will go out, but hopefully before autumn.
So autumn, autumn 2022, you're doing
autumn 2022, I'm on tour all over the place. I'm really looking forward to it. Show's called Buzzed and I'm dead excited to be on tour again.
Maisie, thanks for joining me on the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.